Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on the feast day of St. Joseph Capasso of Turin, Italy. We have a jam-packed show today for you. We're just going to jump right into it. The Jubilee Museum was established in 1998 by Father Kevin Lutz for the purpose of preserving the Catholic mind and memory as it's represented in art. The museum's focus embraces primarily liturgical art and secondarily any art that in some way tells the story directly or indirectly of the lives of Christ, Mary, the saints, and the history of the Catholic Church. The art is housed in the former Holy Family High School. Its rooms contain many fine examples of Catholic religious artifacts, including paintings, statues, vestments, altars, as well as items found in the home for personal devotion. The Jubilee Museum and Catholic Cultural Center is having an Arts and Antiques Appraisal Fair on Saturday, June 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday, June 29th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Carrie spoke with Graziella Marcicelli, the Director of Museum Services and Special Exhibitions, about the upcoming fair.
Joining us on the trumpet today is Graziella Marcicelli. Graziella, did I use my Italian accent very well to welcome you? Okay.
Yes, you did.
Welcome to the trumpet. You are with the Jubilee Museum, and you have been the new director of the Museum Services and Special Exhibitions for about 10 months now.
Yes.
And you have some exciting events to share with us that you will be hosting this summer and then throughout the year. So talk to us about this Arts and Antique Appraisal Fair that will be hosted by the Jubilee Museum on June 28th and June 29th.
Well, this came about because of an idea we've had. We get a lot of phone calls, believe it or not, and emails from individuals who always ask us, well, you're a museum that have old stuff, as they put it a lot of times, like old manuscripts, old Bibles. They ask us about pottery and ceramics. And they say, oh, can you appraise my piece if I bring it to you? Well, unfortunately, you know, the U.S. government usually says a big no-no unless you're a licensed appraiser. Mm-hmm. Someone that has gone to school and has studied. And as a nonprofit art museum and culture museum, as we are a mixture of the two, we're really not supposed to do that because of conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So we thought, what a great idea if we do an appraisal fair where you can bring art. It can also be contemporary pieces. You never know what treasures you have in your house or you've discovered or inherited, as well as, you know, heirlooms, collectibles, antiques, from silver to furniture. We're not doing jewelry this time, for most obvious reasons. And no weapons and no uncollectible arm and armors. Not because they're not fun or cool. It's very difficult to find an appraiser within driving distance or even short flight. Mm-hmm. And we thought this is a great way for us to promote our mission, to promote who we are in Columbus, to tell people across this beautiful state of Ohio and this beautiful city that we are a wonderful institution that preserve the Catholic faith, preserve the Catholic history and memory. But above all, in a broader spectrum, we also preserve and talk about the Christian faith, our Judeo-Christian faith. Because as you know, our institution, our museum, also has a synagogue with authentic items within it. We also have Protestant Bibles, and we have some contemporary Protestant artists represented, as well as old, you know, altars that showed the Latin Mass, the way priests wore black vestments for funeral masses, you know, prior to 1962, prior to Second Vatican. So we're a mixture of history, culture, and art, both, to use simple terms, old and contemporary. So it's a beautiful place to come and visit. It's a great experience. So the fair, seriously, came from people really requesting information like this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times had nothing to do with a religious item per se. You know, as you know, our institution has also Russian and Greek Orthodox icons. Mm-hmm. Some of them are 100 years old. Some of them are even older. A few are contemporary. So we thought, what a great way to combine who we are to open our doors to people, to come to know us and our mission, but also to help people in their community, to show them where they're, you know, if they have a treasure. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't, it's a great experience because I can guarantee you, you'll learn something about that item that you brought.
I saw here also you, you'll do appraisals for rare books and different folk art.
And I'm
just thinking, you know, I know myself, if you went through my house, I have some rare, older, very old books that I always thought these have to be, you know, worth something.
That's right.
If somebody gets an appraisal on some of these mm-hmm. items that they bring in, then what do they do from there? They can donate these items to the Jubilee Museum?
They can donate them to the museum, or if they get a really good appraisal, definitely donate them to us. but otherwise, they can also find an auction house okay. or a dealer that would deal with them, and our appraisers can tell them where they can go. Because mm-hmm. appraisers are not allowed and they cannot purchase directly. So they can tell you what it's worth and they can guide you.
Will they get a written appraisal or anything?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. The Jubilee Museum is such an amazing place. It is. When you walk in there, it's just you just see treasures from all over the world, time and history. And I really, you know, I wish people would be able to get in there and just kind of experience that. What are some of the hours that you're open? Can anybody just go in and take a tour of the museum?
Well, because we are a very small staff, during the weekday, we prefer if they call us in advance to tell us that they want a tour, so it's by appointment, and they can call us at 614-221-4323, extension 211, and we'll book a tour for them. They can also come on Saturdays where we have open tours. You don't have to, you know, we start at 11 for a few hours, so you can come also on Saturdays.
And you have new acquisitions every couple months?
Oh, yes, we do. Thank you, Father Lutz.
Yeah. I hear he's
yes,
a very busy man.
He's a very busy man with a wonderful, wonderful eye.
Mm-hmm. And so can you give us the details on this appraisal fair?
By the way, with the appraisal fair, if you have a large furniture piece, say you have like a large Queen Anne sofa,
oh.
or not as of the big Queen Anne, mm-hmm. it could be something even more humble, take pictures. You can even contact us before the fair. You can, you know, you can email us, you can call us, you can send us your images, your JPEGs. Our appraisers will look at the stuff, large furniture pieces, large paintings that you can't carry over. We will look at them ahead of time and we'll give you an appraiser ahead of time, unless you want to bring your pictures the day of, which is just as good.
And it's on June 28th from 10 to 4 at the Jubilee Museum. Sure. And then also Sunday, June 29th from 11 to 5. And what is the appraisal fee?
It's $10 for one item, and we ask that you bring no more than two items, each at $10, because of time. Our appraisers really will have a lot of people that they want to see.
Okay, thank you so much, Graziella, for joining us here and sharing all this exciting new things that will be happening at the Jubilee Museum.
For more information, visit www.jubileemuseum.org.
Today in our conversation segment, Matt Palmer speaks with Jamie Caridi, who's the Vice President of Student Development at Ohio Dominican University, about how Catholic universities help students strive to answer their own call to holiness and how his faith helps his work life.
Jamie, it's great to be here with you. Welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. When I think of St. Gabriel's Trumpet, I always think of the encouragement that St. Gabriel's Trumpet will actually have someday when we're all called home, we trust. And so this is an opportunity to just encourage our listeners with some of the wonderful things that the Lord is doing in our diocese. And I thought about your ministry at Ohio Dominican. So tell our listeners a little bit about your role there, and let's talk a little bit about what's going on at Ohio Dominican.
Well, thanks, Matt. I'd love to do that. And I also want to, again, thank all of the folks here at St. Gabriel Radio for having me today, both humbled and privileged to be here. I'm Vice President for Student Development at Ohio Dominican University. And as vice president, my responsibilities are really to make sure the co-curricular experience and the culture of campus is one that is vibrant, dynamic, and at the end of the day, allows our students to become the full potential of who God created them to be and to be virtuous citizens in this world that desperately needs them.
Wonderful. And when I think about a Catholic university, I think that's exactly what the mission should be. Tell me how, when you look at what's going on at Ohio Dominican these months and years, give us your assessment of how that wonderful, beautiful mission of raising up young saints. How are we coming at at Ohio Dominican?
Well, at the end of the day, as a Catholic university, we have one charge, and it's to allow our young men and women to accept their universal call to holiness. And that's what differentiates us as a university. There's 3,000 colleges in America, and when you say, well, what makes Catholic universities different? That's what makes us different. That's our ultimate charge, to allow students to pursue truth while understanding the font of truth. And so that's what we do every day in a variety of dynamic and important ways. And of course, we try to do that meeting young men and women where they're at. And as you can imagine, they're all over the place. Some are on fire for the Lord, come to us with a very mature sense of who they are, the gifts that God has graced upon their life, and how they can take those into the community. As you can imagine, we have others on the other side of that spectrum as well that are lost, wondering, challenged, may not have had the supportive environment growing up. And we have a responsibility and duty to meet every one of those young men and women wherever they are. And of course, it's at the end of the day, it's the same message, but how you communicate it, where specifically you meet them is different for each young man and woman.
It's so wonderful to hear that you are sensitive to all the young people and where they are. Talk about sacramental life at Ohio Dominican. How are the sacraments received? How are they made available to your students?
So the sacramental life is critically important. College students in general in America adopt and embrace this idea of spirituality, but that's different and very vague for many of them. And so for us, the Catholic University, it's all based in the sacraments. So to give you an example right now, how is it that we're bringing the sacraments to our students? First and foremost, every day on our campus, there's the opportunity to celebrate the Eucharist.
Wonderful.
And every man and woman is invited to participate in that. And doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or not, of course. We want to evangelize to everyone and get them into the doors. We also know the power and significance of confession. Most of your listeners know Father Thomas Blau, and he's been called many things, by the way, but a champion of the sacraments and lover of the sacrament of confession is right there at the top of his list. So, yes, of course, we have scheduled hours, but he makes a point of saying, I will be available for confession at any time, in any place, for any student, whoever seeks it. And so when you have somebody like that who's articulating a message like that, that's a really good thing. And it's incredibly inviting and comforting to our students.
Jamie, I want to transition our listeners to you personally. When I think about leadership at Ohio Dominican and I think about the role, the important role you have, I know that nourishing your own life, your own spiritual life, your family's life is a very critical part of your being able to do the work that you're called to do at Ohio Dominican. Introduce our listeners to your beautiful wife, Braylee, and your children, and tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, I married up, Matt, and
didn't we?
And
all?
I like to say my wife took on a charity case, so God bless her for her social justice work. And but I have an amazing wife, Braylee, 7 beautiful children, and so I'm incredibly blessed. And as I think about my role in the family and my role at Ohio Dominican, while on the surface it looks very different, at the end of the day it involves many of the same things. How is it that I be a spiritual leader for those who are in my care? How is it that I embrace the sacraments and help share those with others? How is it I live a life of sacrifice and suffering? And all the while, to stay tied to Scripture and the saints and the beauty of our faith. And I skin my knee every day. I mean, my favorite saint of all, of course, is St. Peter. And I think it's so apropos that this morning the readings were surrounded with St. Peter involved, because he's my champion. He skinned his knee countless times. He denied Jesus 3 times. He fell asleep on him in the garden. He began to sink in the water when he took his eyes off Jesus. And at the end of the day, God said, you know what? You're still good. And he gave him the church. And so he's my champion. And I think he can be my guide in all the challenging work we have as fathers of our children and as men in society trying to do the Lord's work.
St. Peter, pray for us, for
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
Tell us about the apostolate that you and Braylee have, the Full of Grace gift shop. We want our listeners will love learning more about that.
Thank you very much. This is a business ministry that really my wife is the brains of, and I'd like to say I'm the brawn, but you're here looking at me, and so you know that would be a lie. But we have Full of Grace Gift Shop as a business ministry to serve the Catholic community and Christian community of Columbus. It started out by my wife making rosaries and lots of friends and family saying, boy, would you make one of those? And then when the cathedral bookshop closed, we adopted many of their belongings and things that they wanted to pass along to us and our growing business. And now, by golly, we have a full-fledged Full of Grace Gift Shop Catholic ministry. And so we're very thankful for all those in Columbus that support us and are privileged to serve them.
Jamie, we've been so encouraged by our time with you today. Thank you for all that you've shared about your family, about your Full of Grace Gift Shop, and about the work that you're doing at Ohio Dominican and the work the Holy Spirit is doing. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Matt, and God bless.
The Frassati Society of Young Adult Catholics is established as a community of young people aged 18 to 35 who desire to live a life of holiness in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the modern era. The Society is composed of men and women, religious sisters and brothers and priests who have come together in mutual support for prayer, fellowship, study, ownership of the Catholic faith, and communion in Christ. St. Patrick's Church in Columbus will be hosting a few Dominican Brothers this summer, and some of the initiatives they will be implementing are the Frassati Society events and a lecture series called Redeeming the Culture. Carrie spoke with one of the visiting Dominican student brothers, Brother Timothy Danaher, and spoke about the exciting things that will be happening at St. Patrick's this summer.
Joining us today is Dominican Brother Timothy Danaher, who is visiting St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Columbus this summer and is going to share with us some exciting initiatives that will be taking place with the Frassati Society at St. Patrick's Church. Welcome to The Trumpet.
Thank you for having me.
Brother Timothy, give us some background information on what the Frassati Society is about.
The Frassati Society was launched at St. Patrick's a little more than a year ago. It's a simple model of doing 20s group or young adult ministry. So the basic components of a typical Frassati Society as they crop up in the U.S. at different parishes, there's usually a study portion. So for instance, this summer, we'll be doing a book study on Introduction to Christianity by Pope Benedict, then Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger. There are other main components to Frassati, though, in the model, and these are hiking. So we usually do outdoor activities once a month and also a service activity. So it's usually those four activities besides special events. And St. Patrick's has been running on this model for a year now. This summer, as is the case, there are four of us, Dominican brothers from Washington, D.C., assigned here to Columbus for the months of June and July. And so we're beginning some new initiatives with Frassati this summer. And as I had mentioned, these are the book study. These will be every other Wednesday during the summer. And as well, we're planning hikes and service projects. A few more details on that. Something to check into for more details soon is that in late June, we're going to be planning a walking pilgrimage as part of our hiking portion. With young adults from Columbus and also from Zanesville, and we'll be touring some of the seven earliest churches in the state of Ohio. So that would be one initiative among others that are soon to be announced.
Very exciting. And you also have a lecture series coming up. Can you tell us about this lecture series?
Yes, that's right. So the four of us brothers, because we're here for the summer, wanted to put together something at the parish, and we thought one of the most pressing questions among Catholic these days are how to deal with certain elements of our culture. We're surrounded by everything from the news to the movies we read to all the new trends that are coming up seemingly every few months. And so we're naming this series that we're going to give in six parts. We're naming it Redeeming the Culture. The first lecture is on it's on beauty. The title is The Divine Vocation to Beauty, Contemplating the Culture. It's kind of it's a pilot lecture to introduce how to look at culture as a Catholic with a Catholic lens and worldview. And in that, we need certain parameters. We need to be responsible because there is a lot that we can't always buy into. But there are also many, many, many good things in the culture. So we'll be giving lectures on movies of the past 5 to 10 years, music, fiction, politics, social media, the question of social media, even things such as the workout culture, triathlons, just all these things that are happening and how to best engage with those.
And all of these events and initiatives are open to the general public as well?
They are open to the general public. So everyone is invited to the lecture series. The lecture, they will be on Thursday night at 7 p.m. at St. Patrick's Church at St. Patrick's Hall. And those will run until July 17th. So the lectures have begun. Last week was our first. And then, like I said, every Thursday at 7 p.m.
And of course, where can someone get more information?
Great. The best places to get more information for the lectures are going to be at our website, stpatrickcolumbus.org. There will be postings there, but they will also be posted along with the Frassati information. And Frassati has its own website, which you can find. It's columbusfrassatisociety.com. And you could find both initiatives advertised on those sites. Frassati is not a native English word. It's the last name of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, an Italian blessed named by St. John Paul II. The spelling of his last name is F-R-A-S-S-A-T-I. So that's ColumbusFrassatiSociety.com.
Well, thank you, Brother Timothy, for sharing all this information, and we are happy to have you here in Columbus.
Thank you.
For more information, visit stpatrickcolumbus.org. When Tim Rose began to work with his stump and tree removal company years ago, he looked at all the beautiful wood and was inspired to not let it go to waste. Instead, he wanted to use it to glorify God. Today, he has taken his wood carving skills to a new level and perfected it into the craft of creating beautiful and unique Catholic art. Carrie spoke with Tim to discuss how he turned his everyday job into a craft and vocation of creating religious art and furniture that mirrors the craftsmanship of St. Joseph.
We're joined today on the trumpet with Tim Rose and Tim McAndrew from the St. Joseph Woodcraft Company. Welcome to the trumpet, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Tim, you have a very special craft where you are able to craft wood in such a way where you can really bring true beauty to the wood itself and then to different art pieces. How did you begin this craftsmanship?
Well, I guess it kind of goes back about, well, this is our 30th year in the tree business, so if you want to go back 30 years to 1984, I basically started from scratch. The company I own today, it was not a hand-me-down company. It wasn't, you know, there for me to just jump in and take off. I just started with basically a pickup truck, a stump grinder, and a chainsaw, and that's all I had. And I kind of worked my way up through the years, and we did a lot of and still do a lot of tree trimming, tree removals. And about 10 years ago, I kind of got the idea, well, all this wood is just being wasted. It's going to the landfill or it's being ground up into mulch. I started bringing logs home and saving them. And about 10 years ago, I purchased my first sawmill, and we started sawing some of these logs into lumber. What I did, I started letting my logs age in the wood yard. When you let that wood age, the wood starts to decay inside, and it doesn't really get soft. It's still hard, but the colors really change. When you saw those into lumber or planks or boards, you have all this beautiful grain pattern and design, all different colors. And that's what we've made some of our live edge tables from, and we make our picture frames for our artwork out of that. So we've pretty much nailed down about the time frame to get the proper spalting for the wood. But I don't really know of any other company that I can think of, at least in the Ohio area, that is doing this. We're, you know, cutting down a tree, and instead of wasting it, we're bringing it back to the shop and getting as much lumber as we can out of it, and we're making products. Any wood that's left over that we cannot use, we have an outdoor wood burner that heats our facility, heats our home, heats our garage, heats our kiln. So we're getting basically practically no cost for the heat to heat our facility. So none of it goes to waste. Mm-hmm.
So now on the website where you have many different art pieces, mm-hmm. and you partnered with an artist, mm-hmm. where you take his artwork and then you'll provide whatever frames that somebody would want. They can pick out and choose the type of wood for the frame, and then you would design the frame particularly for that piece as far as what design and what custom size it would be?
Exactly. That's the magic word there, custom, because mm-hmm. we can make it a standard size or we can make it a custom size to fit the home that the person wants to put it in, or the church for that matter.
Well, I've seen your artwork. You just brought in two pieces, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Tim, would you talk to us a little bit about the artist and then some of the pieces that you especially are favorable to? There are so many beautiful pieces of artwork that you have on the website that you can pick and choose.
Tim McAndrew now. Tim. Yeah. Yes. We have the Vilnius image, the Divine Mercy Jesus, the original. We have John Paul II and Our Lady Guadalupe, Pope John Paul II and Pope John the 23rd. They were just both canonized. We have the full Shroud of Turin that we can do in any size that a parish wants, all the way up to a life size. So we have very unique art. So it's worth going on the website. And if someone wants a specialty done for their family, we can do that as well.
So you brought in a beautiful, beautiful image of the Divine Mercy, and then you also talked about the consecration that you would like to do. You brought in the consecration to the Divine Mercy also for venerating the image. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it started in Washington, D.C. out of a priest there. He contacted me, and he asked, I'd like to work with you, and with your website, you can help us do this. And I said, I would love to have the consecration in the home. So he got a consecration put together, a holy card, did, or both have the imprimatur from his bishop. And I'm going to try and start that in Columbus, where we start doing the consecration with Tim's help. Mm-hmm. We have the image that we can print it any size, beautiful on canvas with beautiful wood, and bring it right into the home or the parish.
It's amazing to me how both of you were put together by God, by the Blessed Mother, probably, to take your crafts and to take your gifts and your passion and work it together to glorify God. It's really amazing. So can you give us the information for the website?
Yeah, it is stjosephwoodcraft.com, and it's spelled out stjosephwoodcraft.com.
And really encourage you to go to the website and look at some of these art pieces because they're absolutely inspiring and beautiful. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today on The Trumpet.
Thank you.
Thank you
God
very
bless.
Much. Thank you.
To see this beautiful religious art and furniture, please visit stjosephwoodcraft.com.
That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with another great episode. If you've got a story idea or something crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.